There's an event happening in Sandpoint on Saturday night. It's a Native American film festival, and here to talk about it is a person who has been very much the voice of many Native American issues, Jane Fritz. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning.
And let's jump right into it, because you first, we knew you in the context of Native American stories with Keepers of the Earth, which you did, what, 25 years ago?
25 years ago, yeah, already. Yeah.
And so briefly, what made you do that series of wonderful Native American stories and their environmental relation when you did that?
Well, I had lived in Idaho for 9 years before I realized I was driving through Indian reservations and knew nothing about them. And I was coming out of the unfortunate demise of the Idaho Arts Journal and decided, okay, what do I want to do next? And storytelling was very interesting to me. So I thought, okay, I'm going to be a storyteller. But the stories I was interested in were Native American ones, and I didn't feel right about telling their stories. So I started to look around and see, you know, who was out there, what was the oral literature, the mythologies, and started meeting elders, and because of my great love for the earth, I started to make the connection between environmental education and values and the Native stories and how they connected, learning that Native people hold the earth very sacred. And so that's kind of how it started. And I think it was probably the former director, Tom McClanahan, from the Idaho Humanities Council, who said, you know, you're going to come to us with a grant proposal. Why don't you do radio? And, of course, I was like, knew nothing about radio, except I listened to KPBX, of course. And you helped me a great deal to learn. And, you know, it's kind of crazy to jump into your first radio work doing 5 half-hour documentaries, but that's what we did, Vern.
Well, certainly you learned so completely and so thoroughly. And so many byproducts of that, one of which was relationships that you developed with a lot of extraordinary people.
You know, so many of the elders that I worked with, sadly, have passed. But they're so memorable. Lawrence LaRipa from the Coeur d'Alene tribe, Mari Waters from the Nez Perce tribe, and I was mentored beautifully by Rodney Fry, who's now at the University of Idaho in anthropology and ethnography and a distinguished humanities fellow. And, you know, Rodney was perfect in challenging me and saying, you need to get into their lodge and you don't tell stories from outside the lodge. And that's what began, like you say, an amazing life, really. It's been my life and my passion, and I'm constantly learning every day. Today I'm on my way from here to a funeral, or towards the end of the funeral in Spelum on the Colville Reservation of a dear Nez Perce friend. And I was in bed reading all about wakes and funerals last night, just, you know, so that I would be appropriately there today as a non-Indian. And, you know, so it's a daily learning process.
And you've recently been working for the Kalispels. Talk about that work.
Actually, I've had the great fortune to work on 2 projects with the Kalispel tribe of Indians from the Uskusic area of Washington State. A manuscript, which is still a work in progress. Sadly, I'm trying to get it completed. But it's a book for them about their way of life. And that's that. It's a challenge to be a non-Native person and to write not only about them but for them. And that, I hope, will be complete early next year. Mm-hmm. And if not by the end of this year. And then I was simultaneously brought into a project to help with interpretation of their new visitor area. It's called the Kalispel Cultural Exploration and Rest Area, It's on Highway 20, which is part of the International Selkirk Loop, and just north of Cusick, and it's open 24/7. You've been there.
With a great home cooking restaurant.
Too. Yes, and the Kalispell Cafe that Chantal Reve manages, and I'll tell you, yesterday I stopped by at 2 o'clock after digging water potatoes out in Kalispell Lake with tribal members from all of the tribes in the region, and she had sold out all of her lunch, so I had to have something else, but it's a great place, and it's not open 24/7, but if you get there in the afternoon around lunchtime, you'll have a great meal on real dishes with real silverware, even.
And so back to the Idaho Myth Weaver, you've used that organization, agency, name, whatever you want to call it, for many different manifestations and ways to communicate, haven't you, over the years?
Yes. Besides radio, we've also done trainings in radio for Native peoples. And I'm proud to say that one of our students in public affairs production work was Brian Bull, who is has a connection here at KPBX. But also Brian has been, now he's in Cleveland and working for Cleveland Public Broadcasting, and is also, I think, the former board president for Vision Maker Media, which is part of the Native American Public Telecommunications. And we were really lucky that Brian was part of the Nez Perce training that we did with five students. And he went on to do an internship in Washington, D.C., and with NPR, and it's, you know, I was challenged again by both the elders who said, we want our people doing what you're doing. I was producing not only the documentary series, but shorts for National Native News, and you know, it was like, yeah, you're right. We need to get your people telling these stories. And that kind of leads me into what's happening this weekend.
Sure, and so, yeah, why film?
Well, we have, in Sandpoint, the Panada Theater has an amazing series, and Karen Bauer started it many years ago called the Global Cinema Cafe Series, where we show a lot of foreign films, films you might not see on the big screen, similar to what the Magic Lantern plays here in Spokane. And but, you know, with all the different films from the Middle East and Africa and French and Europe, and we rarely show a Native American film. In fact, the last film that I'm aware of was several years ago was Sherman Alexie's business of, well, Smoke Signals was brought in by the Panada, but then we showed his film, The Business of Fancy Dancing. And that was too many years ago to count. But we hadn't done anything in a while, and then this spring we brought a film called More Than Fry Bread. That played in the Little Theater to a sold-out crowd. And it was wonderful because a busload of Kalispell tribal members came over for it. And standing on the stage before the film, welcoming everyone, it was just such an amazing thing to stand there and see half the audience be Native and half the audience be non-Native together. That doesn't happen very often except at powwows. And so it was a hit, and our board, which now consists of a Nez Perce tribal member, Diane Malikan, and who's retired from the National Park Service down in Spalding, as part of the Nez Perce National Historical Park, and Chet Bluff, who is from USC. She is on our board now, too. We decided it would be very cool to do bring more Native films, and so that's kind of started in spring, and we decided, well, let's just do a little mini festival, a one night thing. And I happened to see Sherman Alexie at Spokane Falls this spring, and I went up to him afterwards because we had worked together, we'd been in the studio together, interviewing, and said, you know, who would you recommend? What filmmaker? And he recommended Sterling Harjo, who is a Creek, Muskogee Creek Seminole from Oklahoma. And it just so happened that Sterling's latest film was at Sundance this past year. And it's a documentary called This May Be the Last Time. And it's about the use of songs in Native communities.
And when you say songs, keep talking about that, because it's songs, not only Native songs, but songs in a larger world sense, isn't it?
Well, yes, and these are actually more hymns. And so they have a Christian influence, these hymns. They're sang in churches of all denominations in Oklahoma, by mostly Native people, but there are a couple non-Natives who have learned these songs. And these songs came on the Trail of Tears to Oklahoma. So they have origins in the Deep South and connections with slavery songs. And back in those days when the tribes were in the Southeast before the forced march to Oklahoma, there were missionaries, non-denominational missionaries from the Scottish Highlands who came to work among the tribes and among the black Africans, and their influences in music come out in this film. So it's really a documentary, it's a personal documentary. Sterling Harjo weaves the tale he grew up with about his grandfather's mysterious disappearance in 1962 on a bridge. He was a musician, he was a bass player, standing bass, and he loved music more than going to church, okay? And one night, he didn't make it home, and they found his car had gone off a bridge, but they never found the body. And so he weaves how the music, these songs, these hymns, which really are used in worship and tragedy and, you know, and hope, to what happened to his grandfather, which I don't want to reveal. And also then, you know, he starts to see these roots to these other places, the Deep South and the Scottish Highlands.
Yeah, so a lot of connection there.
Yeah. So it's fascinating, and like I say, our interest is to show films that you wouldn't normally see. Mm-hmm. And we have...
Every film festival is not a festival unless you have several films. And so what's the range of short films you had to work with, to pick from, and what was kind of that process of discovering which ones to use?
Well, I went to Vision Maker Media after talking to Sherman and his suggestion about Sterling's work. He has some dramatic films, kind of like Smoke Signals, but I thought this film, given that it was at Sundance last year, would be a good one to introduce to our audiences in the region.
As the feature.
Yes. And so we thought, okay, well, what would go nicely with that? So I went to Vision Maker Media, who is a distribution arm of the Native American Public Telecommunications, for film, and saw some really interesting ones. Talked to my board about it, and came up with two other documentaries. The feature film is an hour and a half. These other two documentaries are an hour long, and then this really cool short called Ingenuity,
spelled
like engine. I-N-J-U-N, and then Uity. And they're clever. They are ingenious. I mean, it's such a great word to play on, this kind of creative. And they're animated. Very cleverly produced. They're like 5-minute shorts. Mm-hmm. We originally were going to show three, but in previewing them, we're going to try to do two, and then two, and then two. And they cover everything from Native languages. That one's called Tongues. There's one, an environmental film called Turtle Island, that has women as the heroes. They're the three sisters. And if you're familiar at all with Native, the Southwest, in Navajo and Pueblo and Hopi cultures, the three sisters are corn, bean, and squash. And from those cultures, and so those are the three sisters that battle environmental challenges, like things like energy and coal and oil trains and things. And then we're going to see one called The Great Law of Peace, which is about Hiawatha and the Bringer of Peace, and how these northeastern tribes, the Iroquois Confederacy, how they influenced American government and our Constitution. And people will learn, they'll go, wow, I had no idea that Benjamin Franklin, you know, adopted some of the Native ideas from the great law of peace in the Northeast among Native peoples.
And then, let me interrupt to let people know who I'm talking to. I'm speaking with Jane Fritz of the Idaho Myth Weaver, who is the spokesperson and the originator of this Native American Film Festival, or American Indian Film Festival is how you describe it, on Saturday, October 11th, beginning at 6 o'clock at the Panada and running till give or take 10, something like it. Okay, anyway, and were you going to illuminate another of the Ingenuity?
Well, there's one called Ingenuity, which kind of sums lots of things up. But then there's another one that I really think is very timely called Two-Spirit, and it's about gender identity among Native peoples, and I think people will find that very interesting. And so those are the shorts that will go in between the documentaries. And the first documentary we're going to start with was also a Sundance selection in 2011 called Grab. And Grab is about what's called Grab Day among the Laguna Puebloan people in the southwest. And it's an annual event that families gather food all year round, and they're going to showcase like three of the families, follow their lives throughout that year, and what it takes for them to gather all this food and water that they then drop off the Pueblo rooftops to the community below. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, tied to Christianity because of the mission, Spanish influence, and they do it on St. Anne's Day. And so it's fascinating, those connections, but it's a traditional giveaway. Kind of puts a twist on the word Indian giver.
Yeah. And then you have some other things you're going to accomplish by doing this film festival, and A, as you mentioned, getting two different peoples together in the same room, but then what are some of the other hopes that you have of the result of this film festival?
Well, and I do want to talk about that other documentary, too. Don't let us forget that.
Well, then talk about that now.
Well, I just, and this one is a more spirited film called Indian Relay, and it's about bareback team Indian relay racing. Hmm. If you can imagine catching a running horse, running as fast as it can, and having a rider get on another horse and take off and try to win a race. I'm thinking the last time I think we saw each other was at Nancy Ross' retirement and party, and which was so much fun and so many people there to honor her retirement from KPBX. But everything stopped when the Belmont Stakes was on the television there in the room. And so we all went and watched that. Horse racing is, there's something about it that's fascinating. And this one, and what's very cool about this film and why I want to talk about it for a minute is because it features two Montana tribes and an Idaho tribe. The Shoshone Bannock from Fort Hall is one of the teams that's being followed in this process of working up to the national championship. And the other two are the Crow Nation and the Blackfeet from Montana. So it's very close to home, this film.
Sure. Okay, and now to the kind of overall agenda of some of the things you want to accomplish by doing this film festival.
Again, you mentioned education, and that is what we are. We're a 501c3 nonprofit educational organization headquartered in Sandpoint, where there are only a handful of Indian people, but we're kind of in the middle of the Kootenai Reservation to the north, the Coeur d'Alene Reservation to the south, the Kalispell Reservation to the west, and you know, the Montana, the Flathead to the east, and the Spokane Reservation. And, you know, it's an opportunity for us to teach the people in our backyard about the Aboriginal people, the Indigenous people. You know, for example, the Kalispell lived in the Sandpoint area for 10,000 years. They're ancestors, and nobody thinks of them as an Idaho tribe. They weren't even acknowledged as an Idaho tribe until 2004. So that leads me to one of our other projects, besides the film festival. And it's, you know, it's an opportunity to learn, but it's all because it's from their point of view, not our point of view. And Native filmmakers like Sterling Harjo, like Billy Luther, who does the Grab Day one, they're up-and-coming award-winning filmmakers, mm-hmm. like Sherman Alexie. And it's a great opportunity to hear how they see the world from their point of view. Mm-hmm. And so that's an educational thing. And in addition to that, this is a benefit for the Myth Weaver, and our resources will go to supporting a project that is happening right now in Sandpoint among elementary school students, fourth graders who study Idaho history, about who the Kalispel are. It's called the Kalispel Heritage in Our Backyard. We're entering our second year into that project thanks to a nice grant from the Idaho Forest Group out of Laclede. Mm. Nice. So those are, this is our 25th year, so we've done some boat tours on Lake Pend'Oreille. The Lake Pend'Oreille cruises have been always supportive.
Mm. And a sense of celebration about it all.
Yeah.
So this is the film festival. It's this Saturday, October 11th, and it's between 6 and roughly 10 at the Panada, the best place to do anything like that. Tickets are available from the Panada and at the door, and it's this whole series of films from the Idaho Myth Weaver. So thank you, Jane Fritz, for letting us know about all this.
Thank you, Vern. I really appreciate it. And hope I wanted to just say one last thing. Our $12 tickets, if 4 hours of film sounds like too much, you can come to any part of it. We'll probably close the ticket office at around 8:30 when the feature film shows. But that price will be, you know, if you come for an hour or for four.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Jane.